Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday, January 23rd edition of Byers & Company. Dan Oakes, the president of the Board of Education for District 61, will join us. We'll talk about last night's board meeting. And we have Illini tickets to give away, courtesy of J.L. Hubbard Insurance and Bonds. It all starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
I hate to keep beating the obvious drum, but if you look out the window right now and all of this water that's all over everything, if it's below freezing by 10 a.m. and dropping down into the 20s with 20-mile-hour wind, where does all of this go if it's not turning to
ice? It's got to turn to ice, right?
Right. So why is there not like a winter weather advisory?
The physics or the scientific reason it wouldn't.
I mean, 3 inches of snow isn't nearly as dangerous as a quarter inch of ice.
I know.
But everybody loses their mind over the snow. And this, to me, looks much more dangerous. Then you throw in 20-mile-an-hour winds.
And you got a mess.
Because there's not just a little water. I mean, it rained a ton last night.
And then the melt of the snow.
Yeah, and I hit like a couple of like monsoon-type sort of things on the way into work this morning. I couldn't believe how much water came down last night. So anyway, be careful out there as those temperatures continue to drop. Last night, the school board meeting was, I don't know if it's a mixed bag. It's probably a mixed bag every school board meeting. Dan Oakes joins us. How many discipline type things, you've been on the board how long?
24 years.
Total, right? How many times have you had to sort of let someone go?
Maybe two or three over that whole time.
I think it's rare, right? I mean, it's not something that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Tell me about the process in which this takes place. We visited with Beth Nolan, your VP, a little bit yesterday in the lead up to the meeting. But you know, the HR, they do their thing. And by the time it gets to the school board, you basically go into a closed session and you hear both sides.
Right. And part of this, the way it's handled is based in their union contract. So it'll have a progressive discipline or it'll have how things like this are handled. By the time it gets to us, both sides will present their findings, and then the board will act on those findings.
And so last night you had the possible discipline or dismissal of a custodial employee and the possible discipline or dismissal of a school security officer.
Right.
What can you tell me about either one of those cases?
No action was taken on the security officer. It was almost an update.
Okay.
It's kind of an ongoing thing. The other one, the board voted to terminate the employee.
Okay, so that person is no longer there. I get up this morning and I read that a secretary from Eisenhower High School has been charged with criminal sexual assault.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you know about that?
I knew about it. I don't have a lot of the details yet. They're still doing the investigation work.
Now, this was a secretary, and the person who was released was a security or custodial employee. I want to make sure, because everybody gets all worked up depending on the job category, so we're very careful of that. You guys have a lot of employees.
Yes.
You know, we're a pretty small place, and sometimes you got to let people go. I mean, it is a fact of life. No one enjoys doing it. It's not fun. Right. It's never fun, even when it's deserved. Do you feel like the totality of the size of staff versus the two or three of these you've dealt with over the 20-plus years, you guys do a pretty good job of hiring people?
We try to work as much as possible with the employees through HR, through immediate supervisors, building principals, to remediate any issues so that we don't get to this point.
All right. So Maria Robertson, Taylor said, in the district was made aware of the arrest of an employee at Eisenhower High School. An investigation is being conducted. The employee has been suspended from work pending the investigation. Safety of our students is a high priority of Decatur Public Schools. This is one that the student was 17 years old at the time. The secretary was 24. She was driving him to school for early classes. She knew the kid, I think, outside of work,
yes,
just what was being reported. So I don't know what the details are, and I'm not expecting you to judge one way or another here this morning without knowing any of that. But we have criminal sexual assault. State's attorney's office had recommended a $200,000 bail. I mean, I don't know. We'll get to those details as they come.
Well, and this is an occurrence that's even more infrequent than the custodial termination.
Yeah. Do you feel like, though, that this story was always in and around? I mean, you put 17-year-olds and 24-year-olds in an environment. I mean, I can't believe this wasn't happening in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. I'm just not sure it got the kind of headlines or attention that it gets now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think back then, I think people just disappeared. For some reason, this employee is no longer with us. Goodbye.
Yeah.
And it go away.
But social dynamics change and life
social,
evolves.
Social media now, this is all over the place. Everybody's seen it, except us. We don't have the details yet.
All right. Well, we will ask you more about that as it goes along. Okay. I just think there's a difference between a 17-year-old and a 24. I'm not saying it's legal, and I don't have any of the facts here. To me, it is not the same thing as a young kid getting molested or something by an adult. I mean, there is a difference in the dynamic to me. Doesn't make it right, and I'm not excusing it at all. I'm just saying our 15-year-old is at Eisenhower, and I don't feel unsafe about him going to school today.
No, and you shouldn't.
Yeah.
I mean, we are basically trying to do everything we can to protect the kids while they're in school.
All right. Let's talk about what happened last night in the board meeting and the board discussion and the superintendent's report about alternative education. This is one of those issues that it can be sticky and that you know, you're not ever going to make everyone happy. And alternative education is, you know, to beat people over the head in Springfield, you know.
I think just using alternative education has a bad connotation to it. What we're trying to do is come up with a program that allows any student to learn to their maximum.
Okay.
So whether it's changing the environment from I can't function with 25 people in a classroom, but put me in a classroom of 10 and I'm super. And we've actually seen this where kids have come from alternative ed back to their own school and not done anywhere near as well, which is one of the ideas that brought this whole school thing instead of just a little bitty 15 person to 150. We have a lot of different kids in this district, and they all have different needs. They all learn differently. We're even trying to integrate to get the kids, one, to graduate, and two, to become productive. So part of this for the high school kids will be looking at career development. You know, are there places in the trades that they're interested in? I heard your comment this morning about a $60,000 a year truck driver. We heard a story about one of our previous students who completed a course and was offered an $80,000 a year job out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Poster child.
No,
it doesn't get any better than that.
Listen, we've got those jobs. Those jobs are available.
Out there.
And I think public education and higher education in this country did a disservice to kids for a very long time. Basically sending the message that you'd be better off going to school, spending $100,000 for a degree in poetry, and then make $30,000 a year because that somehow was more pristine or more you know, higher up the echelon than being a welder or a truck driver or an electrician, when those career paths are there for them. Now, I'm not saying that everyone should take that, but there ought to be a path for everyone.
Oh, sure.
And they all ought to be equally important.
Yes, and I think part of this is the satisfaction you derive from it. I mean, you could go to work in a factory, and if you know that you've done your best that day and you've done your job, there's a reward to that.
Well, but there's a reward in good pay. I think
too.
That even that attitude is sort of still in it's systemic in education. It, you know, we'll say a factory, like meaning that is somehow less than an office or, you know, at a university level. I think you guys are coming around full circle, and I think it's a great thing because I think guidance counselors and anybody who has a point in that kid's life reference ought to be pushing them to the path that they can succeed. You take a kid in a class, as you said, he's in with 25 other kids, and it's not fair to the other 25 kids if he's constantly disrupting, so it's interfering with their education. But if he does better in a class with 10 kids that's specialized and he can end up going down one of those paths, everybody wins. The 25 kids who are now going to class without the interruption, the kid who gets down a better pathway, the counselors, instead of trying to put a square peg into a round hole or finding a path for them. I think some kids, you say you got to shoot for Mars, they give up at 12. You tell them you got to shoot for Pershing Road, that's something they can wrap their arms around and succeed.
This is part of it. What we're trying to do has to be relevant for them. They have to see that there is an end game here. We need you to go to school to get the basics, and there are options for future training, whether it's junior college, whether it's trades. From talking to the construction managers regarding the work we're going to be doing, the trades are woefully understaffed. I mean, there's opportunities, electricians, plumbers.
Josh Sapp will tell you the median age at the IBEW right now is 47 years old.
Yeah.
So there's no pipeline for those kids. We spotlighted a young lady who is a Caterpillar employee that's a welder. You know, she's getting offers to go out west and make, you know, six figures, you know, being a welder. The program you guys put in place this past year with Caterpillar, where these kids are going and doing basically internships, but they're getting paid. And they're learning how to weld. They'll write their own ticket because there's all kinds of jobs with great benefits that you can raise a family and live a very comfortable life. By going down this path. The most excited guy that I talked to in your entire district about, well, I shouldn't say the most excited, one of the most excited guys, because there's a lot of people excited about the whole Ag Academy, was your shop teacher at Eisenhower High School who said, finally, somebody is paying attention to what we're doing over here.
And it's true, and I think we finally realized, and going back to the trauma-informed program where we're trying to find out what makes kids tick a little bit more, that I think once you establish the self-esteem back into these kids and the fact that they can do,
yes,
there's no limit to this.
Not at all. So what's the board take on this? I mean, do you see this moving forward without any major hiccups? I mean, is everybody sort of behind this idea?
Yeah. I was on the board when we started Phoenix, and Phoenix historically has been a money pit. It's very expensive for the number of kids that you're able to serve. And we had no elementary school component. And we have kids in elementary school that have needs just like the high school kids. So this is going to provide us an opportunity we've never had. From a building standpoint, it's going to allow the principals to meet with the parents, find out what would be best for their child, and make the adjustment if need be. So I think it's going to open up a world of benefit.
All right. And can you do this without stigma? Can you do this where you're not attaching some sort of label to a kid?
If you saw the presentation last night, it was learning center. It's not an alternative school. It's recognizing that everybody learns differently. And some kids need additional support to get where they need to be.
All right. And just a different environment.
Different environment, different ratio of teacher to kids, more support staff.
All right, now, Dan, you and I are both a little long in the tooth, right? But I like the fact that you can adapt to this, because we get far too many people to go, well, when we were kids, yeah, you know, that's great for some sort of nostalgic, argument. But the fact is, you get 9,000 plus kids dropped on your doorstep every day. You are required by law to educate them. Some of these kids come from families and homes where they have like PTSD, like soldiers coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq. You know, you've got to do what you have to do with what is delivered to you every morning. And I know we could all love to wave a magic wand and change that, but society isn't going to do that. So why not give these kids a chance to cycle out of that stuff that they've got in their families and their homes? Why not give them the best shot for success rather than going, well, we used to do it this way?
Well, and part of this also is going back and listening to the principals. This is what I need. This is where the care rooms in the elementary levels came from. I need a place where this kid can decompress for a minute, that he can refocus. And I think this entire learning center concept is going to be the same thing. It's going to change focus. It's going to give you access to services you probably would not be able to have in a regular school, and a better teacher-student ratio.
All right. And then what's the timeline on this?
August.
Okay. And where will it be?
Harris School.
Okay. So what is Harris School? I mean, tell me about that change and what that will mean as far as just the dynamic of what it is now.
Okay. Right now it has special ed and regular ed, and the regular ed will go to Hope, and we're finding locations where we can take hopefully all of the special ed students, special needs students, and put them in one location.
Okay, and then this whole reuse of and rethinking of building space, mm-hmm. right? I mean, this only makes sense.
Yeah.
I know people will get upset because people have an attachment to sort of names, and I mean, that's just the way it is. But you've got to do this. I mean, it's not something that's new. I went to Woodrow Wilson my seventh grade year, and then they closed it. So I went to Thomas Jefferson my eighth grade year. I went to
Lakeview.
I went to Lakeview, and they closed. I started taking it personally. Like everywhere I landed, there was a building closed. But that's you have to do that. You can't just keep things because people are fond of the name or the history. You have to adapt to the here and now.
Well, and we have to realize that there is a teacher shortage, and if we can consolidate the schools and have a better handle on class size, we can make more productive use of the teachers that we have, and maybe the shortage is going to be a little smaller next year.
All right. Dan, we appreciate you coming in. We'll have you in a couple of weeks. Next Board of Education meeting is, what, February 12th?
Yep.
And what will be on the agenda for that one?
I have no idea.
That's the fun of being the president of the Board of Education. Dan Oaks, we appreciate it. Here's Lindsay Romano with your three-day forecast.
Today we've got a little bit of rain this morning. That is going to turn to cloudy skies and temperatures falling to around 22 degrees by 4 p.m. Then for tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 16. For your Thursday, mostly cloudy, highs near 24. And Friday, 50% chance of snow in the afternoon, highs around 16 degrees. It is 37 degrees in downtown Decatur. It's the 2000.